Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
History has been made. The new normal is here. Have you seen it? Finally, the moment when a product that once drove good people to the black market has been revealed as one that's now creating a global market. What is an inspiring symbol of counterculture is now just culture. It is the new normal, and it's arrived to a city or neighborhood near you or inside your living room. Have you seen it? It's brought to life by a short film that runs only 120 seconds. That's 2 minutes long. The new normal seeks to leave behind 80 years of unjust prohibition in favor of a safer, happier world. And you can watch this video, which I have watched, and it is spectacular. Check it out on your phone right now if you like. The new normal at medmen.com. That's medmen.com for a spectacular short directed by Spike Jonze, The New Normal.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hi, Adam. If you are a victim of restless cock syndrome, RCS, are you eligible for a service corps?
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Probably get a note from Dr. Drew for that. This half of the show brought to you by MedMen.com, BestEgg.com/Adam, and Geico.com. So the drunkest I've ever been was I had a hot rod car back in the day. I lived in an apartment. I was always, you know, it's weird. I don't know if you guys can identify with this feeling or if there's some subject that resonates with you. But I had the unyielding desire to build and fix and wrench and do everything. And I had no skills. And I had no experience and I had no tools, but I had this fantasy about it. I'm going to get a car and I'm going to fix it up and it's going to be cool and it's custom and I'm going to do all this stuff and it's going to be this way and that way. And it was like a real strong, like mechanical fantasy. I guess like some people dream of rock and roll. I want to rock and roll, you know, but you can't play guitar and you can't sing and you can't afford a guitar.
I have a nerd version of that, yes. Which is I wanted so badly, this is 10, 11, 12 years old, to be a sports writer. Like I wanted so badly to like, write sports. What am I going to write sports for? I'm 11 years old. You know what I mean?
Right.
I would go up to my grandparents' third bedroom office, you know, whatever the whatever room they threw things in. They had a typewriter. I would just type up little articles and columns and give it to my grandpa because he was a big sports fan and be like, "What do you think, grandpa?" I'm like, "Oh yeah, you're really good." But that was my, you know, I had no forum. I couldn't publish my articles. So I just gave it to my grandpa.
Right.
I pounded away on the typewriter.
Yeah. And I hope that most people have some version of that. I hope their relationship with it isn't as frustrating as mine was, because mine was very mechanical. Literally, I needed a car. I needed tools. I needed a space. I needed stuff. And you just... You're not handy for the sake of being handy. I mean, you have to have somebody showing you how to use the tools and everything. And at some point, I bought a Junker 240Z, just sort of carcass, and I didn't have any place to do it. And I parked into my mom's driveway of her Junker house and kind of had it up on blocks. And I'd go over there every weekend, gasoline and a scrub brush, and stand inside the engine compartment and scrub things and pull the engine out and find weird little bits and pieces. But there was no rhyme. There's no reason. I had no idea what I was doing. And it was more frustrating than it was inspiring. I just never got anything done. I didn't have any money.
So you just clean things.
I just go and clean things, and I'd buy a anti-sway bar, and I'd put it somewhere, and it'd get stolen or something. It was a mess. And at some point, somebody had a crazy 240Z, almost kind of race car, the kind of cars I complain about, setting off car alarms and big open pipes in the back, big souped up triple side draft Weber for McCooney's or 44 McCooney's or whatever, the big old thing. And he was just selling it. And I kind of realized that all the work and all the stuff and all the whatever I was trying to do with my car that was never really happening was kind of his car. And I ended up like selling a motorcycle I had and selling some other stuff, whatever. And I bought this car that was more of a race car than it was a street car. And it was super loud and it was like kind of a mess. And I didn't even know what I was doing, but I was like, I got to have this car. Like, it's so cool and so fast and so whatever. And I bought it. And the night, well, Max Zapata, you can figure this one out. A, I don't know if you ever found any garage picture or anything. What is it then when we do find it? Like when I go, I know we got this picture somewhere, we got this thing somewhere, and then everyone goes, nah, it's not around.
Well, as of now, from all the searching we've done, we have not found it. But there's still a possibility that if we continue searching for it after the show, which we will, that we will stumble across it.
How come we
I'm not saying it doesn't
do
exist.
Do we not like label stuff or like as we go through stuff? Do we label stuff?
We label stuff. When the pictures were uploaded, they were not labeled. So as we're going, we're labeling. Like,
as we're scrubbing through old these files, Donnie would have tons and tons of pictures. Mm-hmm. I hope you're all sitting down. He would never label anything or label it correctly or do anything like that. So we have to just fumble through big piles of old pictures. But as long as we're doing it, Max Pata, as long as we're labeling it as we go, then so be it.
Yeah. It is a mission to.
I had some old picture of the garage and the car sort of sitting in it, and you can kind of see it, but it doesn't really matter. It's an old orange Z car that was all hopped up.
That'd be a worthwhile project for someone to spend, I don't know, a day or two on. Yeah. Go through pictures.
Not
going to
happen.
Car,
no one's ever
house,
do that. Nobody, nobody
high school.
Nobody will ever do it.
Football.
Nobody ever do it. Okay. It would be worthwhile. And I have talked about it a few times, but nobody's ever going to do that. Now, that's just the way. That's the new world order. Either way, I do have a bunch of stuff that's on VHS. I don't know, Letterman appearances and stuff like that on Space Ghost or something like that. And I do want to get them all ripped and put on a hard drive and labeled and all that. That'll be a very long, multi-layered discussion for me to have for many years. That's what I've learned.
Well,
about
look forward to being done.
Yeah, yeah. Well, don't look forward to it being done.
I was looking forward to it.
Look forward to overhearing many arguments I'm going to have about getting it done one of these days. So, I'll probably just hire somebody and have them do it, and I think that'll be the way to go. But anyway, when did the movie Pretty in Pink come out? 86? 85?
I'm guessing.
80-something. Got to find out the month, because we went to the premiere at the Grauman Chinese Theater. I was living with Donnie. We're in our crappy apartment.
February 86.
Told you.
Early-ish 86, and this was about that time, and they were having the big premiere at the Grauman's Chinese or one of those places on Sunset or Hollywood Boulevard.
God damn, it's a great
movie. And we're like, we're gonna take the Batmobile, the big car, the big loud car, and we're gonna drive it over there. Now, Max Zapata, if you look at the Avalon where Paul Bryan is gonna do his 10-year benefit over there, that you guys are invited to, we'll be there as well. It was on Vine, and the parking lot that I parked on was up the hill. It's toward the freeway. Yep.
It's a small little grade right there.
Yeah, to go up the hill, there was a bank on the corner and had like a bank parking lot. We just parked there. So we just parked there up the hill on the same side as the Avalon. And it was I have many vague recollections from that night. One is we saw Pretty in Pink at the Grauman's Chinese Theater. Molly Ringwald sat behind us. She had chipmunk jaw because she had her wisdom teeth removed 2 days earlier or a day earlier.
It's commitment.
And I remember at the time not being a publicist or in show business or anything, but I was a carpenter, but I was like, why don't you wait till after the premiere?
2 days later.
Yeah, yeah. Do the premiere and then get your wisdom teeth removed, or do it a week earlier and then let the swelling go down. But she was very swollen from Having your wisdom teeth removed. You wouldn't want to walk the red carpet that way. But
and being that fair-skinned, I'm sure it. I'm sure she lit up like a Christmas tree with the rosacea.
So it was weird. I remember that thought. I remember watching the movie and kind of going, okay, like, was, you know, it was fine. Mm. And
not a James Spader fan?
I made the mistake of seeing it for the first time in 2015.
Oh, wow.
So that didn't land the punch.
I have that old imprinting. Harry Dean Stanton.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. You saw when you were a certain age.
So then we went over to the Avalon, which was the palace back then. And we went. You have a statement from Alan Hunter about the party?
I found an article about Alan Hunter talking about the premiere party at the palace.
From MTV?
Yeah, from MTV. He hosted it.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, along with Faye Waybill of The Tubes. Faye Waybill.
Yeah.
And he opened
lead singer from The Tubes.
Yeah, loads of celebrities there, like Justine Bateman.
Ooh, why did they mention me?
Michael Keaton.
Oh. They have a Carpenter series?
Michael J. Fox and the film stars. He interviewed John Anderson from Yes and Andy Summers from The Police, who seemed somewhat confused about being there. He remembers Annie Potts and John Cryer there talking about nerds ruling the world someday.
Everyone was right.
Delightful. Yeah. And he had fun talking to John Hughes at the party.
And that was, what is the date? That must have been, as I recall, it was either a weekday or it was a Friday and I had to go to work on Saturday. I'm curious what the date was. If there's a date on that article. But anyway, no date on the article. No. Okay, so
those premieres are usually midweek.
Yeah, it was midweek.
Especially because they don't want to, you know, take up the theater for a weekend.
I had to go to work, and my work was not sitting in a cubicle being hung over. My work was like digging ditches. But we went there, and I remember a couple things. So we got to the party. It was raining. It didn't rain out here very often, but boy, when it rained, and it was raining, and we parked up on the hill, and we parked in this parking lot. Maybe Max Zapata can find the street version of it. And we went down, and me and Donnie were just walking around, and he was my designated driver, so I was like, I'm getting wasted. And for some reason, I also remember I was drinking Greyhounds. Like, I was drinking vodka and grapefruit juice.
Refreshing.
And I was just pounding them. And it was a weird, I'm having a couple thoughts. Like, we were upstairs in the whatever room, and there's like, there's celebrities around. And Catherine Bach was there. Daisy Duke was there.
Oh, damn.
Good heavens.
Yeah.
And it was like, Daisy Duke is there in the height of her powers. And she was like, kind of walking around. And I said to Donnie, like, go talk to her. Like, go say hi. And he's like, no, I don't want to say hi. And I was like, yeah, go up to her, whatever. And
the guy with 8 greyhounds on him is encouraging the sober guy. Come on, bro.
And she had like something on her shoulder, like a piece of yarn or string or something from her dress was like sitting on her shoulder and kind of weird. And I just remember him going up to her and going like, oh, you got something on? And he pulled off and she just gave that look like, what?
Yeah.
What?
Don't touch
and he was like, oh, you had something. She's like, whatever. And she like walked away. It's like, it was one of those things. Like, you talk yourself into it. Like, oh, there are people just like you
She'll
and me.
She'll appreciate it.
She probably liked to engage in a... No, it was the worst.
Oh, no, no, no.
It was the worst. So I got utterly wasted. And before you know it, people had cleared out. After all, it was a weeknight. And the rains really started to kick in.
I'm seeing Thursday night.
Thursday night. And it was just brutal. And I started looking around for Donnie, and he'd met himself a gal, and they'd left. And, you know, it was no one had cell phones or texting or anything like that. Like, he may have looked around and went, I don't know where he is. And he just split with her. And he split, and I was just left behind, utterly wasted. I didn't have money. I didn't know Uber. There's no. I didn't know how we. I wouldn't begin my entire beginning life. I wouldn't know how call a cab. Yeah. Like, I thought that was something from a movie. Right. Like, what do you mean call a cab?
Call me a cab.
Who could call a cab? No one has money. No one has a credit card. No one has a phone. Like, how are you going to call a cab? So, did you find the street? Or tell Gary to help you with the street thing?
We'll show you the map. This is the map view. So you see the Avalon in the middle there. With a big,
I just want to see the street. Get Gary to do the street thing. Where you walk up the street, and you see the thing on the thing.
The Google View.
Yeah, we wherever you want on the map, we can go into a street view.
Okay,
just know which way you want to go.
Go up the hill. Well, you know the way I want to go. I want to go up the hill and on the same side of the street as the thing. which is up the hill and on the same side of the street is the thing. So there's, yeah, they planted a hedge around this parking lot now, or just keep going up the hill. But either way, you go up the hill, and there, I left this place, and it was pouring. Oh, yeah, they got the parking lots all closed off now. But it was pouring. It was pouring rain, and I walked out, and I walked up the hill, and there was my car in the parking lot, and I was utterly wasted, and I was standing in the driving rain. I had no umbrella or rain anything, gear of any kind. I was just standing there in the middle of the night. There was my Z car, and there was a cop car, and it was parked right next to the Z car. So it was a completely empty parking lot. It was the middle of the night. It was teeming rain. There was no shelter, anything else going on. I was like, I'm going to go in the 7-Eleven and hang out for 10 minutes. There was nothing was open. There was nothing around. There was just my car and an empty parking lot that hold 100 cars. But right next to my car was parked a cop car, and the windows were fogged over. And I couldn't tell. There was no lights on the cop car. It was just parked. And I just stood there in the driving rain, just staring at my car and staring at the cop car. And I was going, why is that guy? What is going on? Yeah. I could not. I mean, I was drunk as shit, but I still could. I still process things. Like, why is he there?
When you're drunk, that drunk, do you ever feel like, is he there for me? Or this must run through your mind at least briefly.
He's waiting
I was
for
there, and I was thinking, is he waiting for whoever gets into this car? Like. So at some point, it was raining so hard, I just climbed in the car and shut the door, and I just sat there. And I was trying to, like, look out my window, but I couldn't. My window was, like, fogged up, and his window was fogged up. And I was like, so this guy's waiting until I start the car.
Yeah.
And once I start the car, he's going to hit the rollers. Like, he's going to get me on a DUI if I start it. I can't die.
Ready to pounce.
I could say I'm sleeping in the car or something like that, but he's waiting. And I just sat there, and I just sat there. I had to go dig ditches the next morning. The pouring rain. And I just remember just sitting there for what felt like forever, not having being frozen. I had no idea what to do. I still was trying to figure out, like, what is this? What would the cop's business be if they were there? I don't know if they're in the car. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're out of the car. If they're out of the car, where are they? And what are they doing? And why would they park in the middle of a parking lot? Why would they park right next to my car? And I just sat there and sat there and sat there. And eventually I was like, I don't know what to do. And I just fired up the car, and the car was loud as shit. Threw it in reverse. Just like started creeping off, and it was raining so hard. It probably kind of helped me because I was so drunk, but everyone was going like 10 miles an hour because it was pouring and like on the freeway, and the freeway was like flooded. And I was just trying to use
the
bumps to like stay in lane, but everyone was going so slow and everyone was like avoiding puddles and whatever. Eventually got the,
your recollections, they were avoiding puddles.
Yeah.
Avoiding
me. Eventually I got the car home. Yacked in the bathtub, I think I remember pretty clearly. And
how was disc jigging the next day?
Oh, God. Again, you guys who do the, I work for an insurance company, and I showed up all a bachelor party. I was all hungover, and I got my Alka-Seltzer, and I put my sunglasses on and leaned back in my chair a little. That's fine. Digging ditches is brutal. Brutal. I, to this day, I have no idea what went on with the cop, but I do remember that party, and I do remember being at the what was the Palace and is now
the Avalon.
The Avalon.
We have to commemorate that event in November.
That's what I'm talking
Making
about.
The second drunkest night of your life.
That's what I'm talking about. All right, let's take a quickie break. Let me tell you about BestEgg.com, and then we'll come back and do the news. BestEgg.com. You look at your finances and scream, how can it be this far in debt? What's going on? I make money. Where's all the debt coming from? Unexpected repairs, replace the washer, the dryer, medical bills, high interest, credit cards, all that stuff you used to pay. You don't need that anymore. Here's a smart move. Fix rate personal loan at BestEgg.com. The rates are great, and you can get in on it right now. Consumers rate BestEgg at 4.0. 0.8 out of 5 stars with Consumer Affairs. So that's a pretty damn high rating, people. Easy online loan application. Takes about a minute with no impact on your credit score. Upon approval, funds can be deposited in as little as one day. Let's get rid of those high rates. Let's get BestEgg.com, right, Dawson?
Get your bills under control, bank what you save, and take control of your finances with a loan from BestEgg.com. Visit BestEgg.com/Adam. That's BestEgg.com/Adam. BestEgg.com/Adam.
All right, quick break. Back with the news and Gina Gratt.
Give me the news with Gratt. News with Gina Gratt. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Gratt. Troubled in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina, Gina Gratt.
The news with Gina Gratt.
Well, Joe Biden has officially entered the 2020 presidential race. As expected, the former vice president joined the very crowded field of Democratic hopefuls. I believe there's 20 now. He released a campaign video overnight in which he declared that, quote, we are in the battle for the soul of this nation. Here's a clip.
I believe history will look back on 4 years of this president and all he embraces as an aberrant moment in time. But if we give Donald Trump 8 years in the White House, he will forever and fundamentally alter the character of this nation, who we are. And I cannot stand by and watch that happen.
Donald had some thoughts about that. He tweeted.
He shouldn't have said Obama's thing was we're 3 days away from fundamentally changing this nation.
Oh, yeah.
He picked an unfortunate term there because fundamentally changing. When Obama was taken over, I think he did some comment like we're 3 days away mm-hmm. from fundamentally changing this nation. And he meant that in a good way.
Yeah, for the positive.
But he said fundamentally changing. And I guess he meant it for the bad
he
way.
Did.
But he was just with the guy who said fundamentally change.
Yeah.
And so he should have never used that phrase. And I don't know. I don't blame him. I kind of blame the people who load the teleprompter. Like, go like, wait a minute. Your guy said fundamentally change. Like, hey,
yeah.
Not ooh.
Yeah.
Do you think he got too clever by half? Like, oh, this is a callback to, you know, the old thing.
I wish all these mistakes were like too smart for the room.
Yeah.
I always think it's like, somebody dropped the ball.
Yeah, probably right.
Well, Trump had some thoughts about this. He tweeted, welcome to the race, Sleepy Joe. I only hope you have the intelligence, long in doubt, to wage a successful primary campaign. It'll be nasty. You'll be dealing with people who truly have some very sick and demented ideas. But if you make it, I'll see you at the starting gate.
Oh, wait a minute. You got to get the theme from Petticoat Junction. Max Zapata, because we call him Uncle Joe Biden, right?
Most
Uncle
people
Joe,
do.
Yeah.
Well, I don't mean it says it on his birth certificate. But
no,
I mean his
Sleep,
nickname
Sleepy
is
Joe's
Uncle
the
Joe.
New term, but yeah, Uncle
yeah,
Joe is what
Uncle
we know.
Joe Biden. He's got to play this theme.
Oh, no.
Trump does. Petticoat Junction. You remember that TV show?
I'm no of it, but
people pop out of the
bad TV show from the 60s, 70s, or whatever. But
was it the same time as Hee Haw?
One of the characters, well, everything was the same time as Hee Haw because Hee Haw ran for 31 years. Hee Haw ran from 1914 to 1989.
Long run, good run.
Crazy. But in Petticoat Junction, they got the song and they go, and there's Uncle Joe. He's a moving kind of slow. Like there's a low energy Petticoat Junction. Well, I'll play it for you. It just dawned on me.
Come ride the little train that is rolling down the tracks to the junction. Forget about your cares. It is time to relax at the junction. Lots of curves, you bet.
Good looking chicks.
When you get to the junction.
Petticoat Junction.
There's a little hotel called the Shady Rest at the junction.
Petticoat Junction.
It is run by Kate. Come and be her guest at the junction.
Here it comes.
Petticoat Junction.
And that's Uncle Joe. He's a moving kind of slow at the junction.
Sleepy Joe.
Petticoat Junction.
Yeah, that'll work its way in.
Yeah, there's someone in the Trump campaign. Come on now. We'll start watching TV Land. Let's go.
Well, he's 76. He's 4 years older than Trump. And if he was elected, he'd be the oldest ever elected president. Of course, same would be for Bernie.
Yeah, Bernie would seem the oldest.
Yeah.
Even if he wasn't chronologically the oldest. All right.
So we'll see what happens. Well, The Hill reports that President Trump's former attorney Michael Cohen reportedly told comedian Tom Arnold that he is not guilty of some of the charges he pled guilty to and expressed frustration at the length of his sentence and the lack of support from those in Washington. In recordings of a call from late March, Arnold provided to the Wall Street Journal, Cohen says he didn't actually commit income tax evasion or bank fraud related to home equity loans. Here's the clip.
I lost my business. I lost, everything. My insurance, my bank accounts. All for what? All for what? Because Trump, had an affair with a porn star. That's really what this is about.
Yep.
There's no tax evasion. And the HELOC. I have an 18% loan to value on my home.
Right.
How could there be a HELOC issue?
That's
now?
Right. That's right.
Right.
That's absolutely
it's a,
right.
It's a lie.
All right.
So he says that he admitted to doing much of this to keep prosecutors from going after his wife, saying that he wasn't going to let her get dragged through the mud. He added to the lament, saying he never thought the judge was going to throw a 3-year sentence at him. And Cohen still admits to the campaign finance crimes he committed in arranging payments to Stormy Daniels. But other than that, no.
Tom Arnold is the devil.
Was there finance? The payments to Stormy Daniel were a campaign finance.
Well, that's what he admitted to and is true, according to Michael Cohen. There was a bunch of charges that weren't true, bank fraud related and income tax evasion related and home equity loan related, that it sounds like he was trying to take the bullet for his wife.
I don't think who's going to end up worse off, Stormy Daniels or Michael Avenatti, like 5 years from now.
Avenatti. Mm-hmm. Stormy Daniels would just be what she is.
Maybe a little better than she was before.
Yeah.
I don't know, but retired porn, I don't know. It's kind of weird.
But she's not. But now we don't think of her as that. Now we're supposed to think of her as a crusader.
Yeah, I was going to say, she might be embraced. Exactly. Yeah. She might be embraced by a certain segment of the population.
Remember what what the hell's her name? Maxine Waters, what she said. And if we can't do it, we're going to let Stormy do it for us.
Stormy's going to be in The View. She's going to be hosting The View.
I feel like we use those people for as long as we need them. And then when we're done with them, they lose a lot of that, whatever that is.
You underestimate the Kardashians at your own risk.
I don't feel that way about the Kardashians, but I don't think Stormy Daniels, I don't think anybody, politically, we use people and then we're done with them. Yeah, and when we're done with them, we're done with them. Yeah, like Christina Blasey Ford or whatever.
Who?
Like we're done with her. Yeah. Like once we're done, we're done.
Yeah.
And I think we're done with her. All right, let me hit this real quick and then tease your next story. What are you going to talk about?
A long-awaited execution finally took place.
Oh, good. I love an uplifting story. trains. That's right. Let's talk a little about safety. That's right. You stop because trains can't stop. It can be frustrating. You're running late. You're coming from a meeting with Michael Mann on the West Side. You're trying to make some hay while the sun shines. Get stuck at that railroad crossing, you have an impulse. Like, I'll just drive around that little arm and ignore the little flashing light and jump the line. Don't ever do that. Trains are going faster than you expect. They can take a mile to stop, especially when they're moving. And that ain't the little steamer going to Petticoat Junction. Mm-hmm. These are rails. And they're moving, man. So let's not get your car all balled up to be a hunk of metal. Let's take care of ourselves. Do not think about jumping that line. The signals are on. The train is on its way. Take your time. Return safe to your home. Or, God forbid, your kids are in your car. Let's get everyone home safe. Just remember one thing. Stop, because trains cannot. All right, Gina, what do we got?
Well, John William King, a 44-year-old convicted more than 20 years ago of a racially inspired murder, was executed Wednesday night in Texas.
Oh, white guy?
White guy. With a fatal dose of pentobarbital.
Oh, well, that's... Jesus, Gina, you said it was going to be a, feel-good thing.
Yeah, it is pretty feel-good, actually.
Mm.
I'm sure you'll remember this case. The execution, this is in Huntsville, took place after the Supreme Court denied King's petition for a stay. Prior to his execution, King released this statement. capital punishment is them without capital get the punishment. Now let's
I might make a license plate frame out of that.
let's recall what he was in prison for. Back in 1998, King and two other white men offered a ride to James Byrd Jr., but then beat him, spray painted his face, chained him to the back of a pickup truck, and dragged him for 3 miles until he was dead.
Oh,
this happened
guy.
Around the same time as Matthew Shepard, actually. I think that was a few months later.
So yep.
Pretty tough time in our history. And 20 years? I thought Texas was known for these for getting speedy.
Yeah,
there.
Just kill everyone. As soon as we figure out they're guilty, they're guilty. Shepard was killed by maybe his boyfriend and maybe a drug thing, and it just got picked up by the gay and lesbian community as a hate crime, but it wasn't. That's
wow.
One of the things.
You this can, is a different direction for the Laramie Project.
You can look it up, but... Well, it was too good to let go. Like, hey, gay guy was chained to a pole and beaten to death or something. Good, hate crime, file it, moving on. His story was drug, guy, boyfriend, and drugs or something. But it wasn't just a straight ahead, that guy's gay, let's chain him to the whatever. But this guy... did this.
This was as horrendous as it could possibly
as
get.
As horrendous as it could possibly get. So why don't we kill these guys earlier?
Thank you, because I did a little looking into it, and from what I read, it takes $1 million basically to keep somebody on death row. $1 million. All the appeals.
Before they get put down.
Right. $1 million.
And also, why should they be allowed for the next 20 years to eat the exact same food that was served to me at Walter Reed Elementary?
Yeah, pretty crazy.
From in 1979.
No. Mm-hmm.
Probably one of the lunch ladies who called in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good riddance. Well, this week on Empire, Jussie Smollett made his final appearance of the season. He was suspended from the show, as you know, following a 16-charge indictment, later dropped. The future, though, for him hangs in the balance now. The show's plot line left open the possibility that his character returns. Meanwhile, his co-stars wrote a letter demanding that the producers bring him back. They said because...
Is this dude going to skate?
I don't know. Are you guys with me? See if you can find the Matthew Shepard story, Maxipata. That's. Are you guys with me that whatever you're up to, if you're not in jail, you should just be allowed to work? I mean, this thing where it's like, well, he was, whatever this pilot did at a party, on a weekend. Now, we don't want him working for our airline. Like, I don't know if whatever they did doesn't affect whatever he's doing, especially in acting, which is like, who cares? I mean, by the way, like, everybody is a moral degenerate who does acting. Come on. Like, where's the bar? You know what I mean? Okay, we don't like him, but whatever. That's between him in Chicago, or him and his fans, or him and his God, or he's got to make it right, or restitution, or he's going to sue Mark Garagos, or the guys from Nigeria are going to sue him, or whatever it is. But you get to go to work. Like, either this part where you have to stop working, everyone has to get shit canned from everything all the time. I'm not drawing a straight line between a guy, guy works in the defense industry and he goes home and he's an alcoholic and he's a crappy dad and he's verbally abusive to a stepdaughter. And then he goes to Lockheed at 8 a.m. on Monday morning and he starts getting back to work. Like, what is that? I mean, look, maybe you don't want him living next to you, or maybe you feel bad for a stepdaughter, but. If he's not being criminally charged and he's not being incarcerated and he's not had, DUIs or whatever, it didn't stick. Whatever it is we wanted to do with him, it got dropped. Maybe it shouldn't have been dropped, but it got dropped. So then you go back to work, especially when your work is playing somebody else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, you still hate Jussie, but like his character.
Yeah, if you're sitting there next to Michael Strahan doing Good Morning, whatever, well, then it's kind of you, and you can kind of go, well, you're screwing up the brand or whatever it is, but you're just an actor.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what his cast members think. They said, we stand with Jussie Smollett and ask that our co-star be brought back for our sixth season. Meanwhile, though, ratings have plummeted since the arrest, and according to the New York Post, it's quite possible Smollett doesn't return because Fox cancels the show.
Ratings couldn't have plummeted because of all this, right?
Well, you'd think if anything they'd go up because
you
I
would.
Didn't watch Empire, and now I'm kind of curious.
Well, he's aware of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Max Pat, make a note. have me cast in a predominantly black television show. Because if I ever go Jussie Smollett or Bill Cosby, I want them all to stand by me.
Rally.
You know what I mean? Why do you don't roll that way? Like, you know, as soon as Andy Dick got out of line, everyone in news radio was like, fuck that guy.
Good luck.
You're on your own.
Charlie Sheen, we got Ashton Kutcher waiting outside.
That's right. But I feel like if you get into a black ensemble, they stand with you.
Yeah. Well, we're going to find out with you.
Write that down. I'm going to start auditioning later today.
Blackish with Adam Carolla.
That's right.
Blackish.
I want them standing with me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because Cosby cast kind of did that with him, right?
Oh, what's her name? His wife did.
Felicia.
Felicia Rashad, yeah.
And there was a couple, I think a couple of kids
and,
did too.
Yeah, Rudy.
That's right.
Keisha Knight Pullman?
Yeah. Wow, mm-hmm. Brian.
I have no idea. Damn it!
You want that.
All right.
One more.
Well, unemployment is historically low, so McDonald's is targeting a different set of workers right now. They are now targeting the elderly. The fast food chain said on Wednesday that it's partnering with the AARP to help attract workers who are 50 and over, not that they're elderly. That demographic makes up 11% of their workforce, but because they can't get young people to work the early shifts for breakfast and lunch, they're going to have the AARP crowd come in and relieve them.
They'd have to get up,
have
to set an alarm, have to have some discipline.
They're not into it.
Yeah, we were walking down San Francisco. And walking down the coast and heading toward the Golden Gate Bridge, past In-N-Out Burger, hiring.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers were 16, like 84 an hour to like 18, 84 an hour. Like
they always
like,
pay pretty high.
Yeah,
historically,
their thing.
It's a fast food place for over $15 an hour, and that's what I'm saying. Uncle Joe's moving kind of slow at the junction, like. Just let the market, man. Don't cap it at 15. And I know that's not what you're saying, but I mean, you cannot cap it, and you can't put a basement on it either. That In-N-Out Burger in that spot needs people, and $12 an hour ain't doing it. They're not attracting people for $12 an hour. I'm sure they'd be happy to pay $12 an hour, but they're not getting any applications, and they're not getting any at 15. They're going over. Mm-hmm. 15. There were, I think it was Max Bad, we saw it was like 16 and 18 bucks an hour over there in San Francisco, right?
Oh, yeah, right there on the window.
Yeah, they put it right out. They need people. That's the market. It's sorting it out. All right. You want to bring it home?
Sure. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
All right, let me tell you about Geico. Everyone's got the to-do list. How about you add save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance? Just don't go anywhere. Just go to your computer. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. You take that extra money and you put it in your pocket. What a thing to do. Go to geico.com, spend a couple of minutes and see just how much you could be saving on your auto insurance. Max Pat, did you find any Matthew Shepard news?
Yeah, so the story is these two guys pick him up. They lure him out of his truck pretending to be gay. And then they tie Matthew Shepard up to a fence, pistol whip him, torture him, set him afire, leave him to die. And then in the trial, the two guys, one of their girlfriends says, they did it because of how one of the guys, quote, felt about gays. And then, but then the lawyer said that they put forward what's called a gay panic defense, which is when you have temporary insanity because of unwanted same sexual advances. So that's what they did. That didn't work. So then he just says, look, they're driven by greed and violence, not sexual orientation. But they were still sentenced to 2 lifetimes in prison. And
That's the version of it.
Yeah.
But I'll find you an alternative version of it for next week.
Yeah.
Some of that in it.
We can take
it takes a deeper dive into it. There's more to it than straight away gay bashing, which was initially reported. All right. Live shows everywhere. Go to AdamCarolla.com and not Taco Bell material. My stand-up special. You guys can check it out if you like it. Chassis. 2 S's in a wine, and iTunes, if you like, and Amazon, if you like. Baldy Wood's going to be doing the Avengers next week, so look out, world. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Gina Grad, Teresa Strasser, and Bald Brian saying mahalo.
Doe maar normaal, dan doe je al gek genoeg.
For call in times and phone topics, follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Tickets and info on all the live podcasts, Mangaree events, books, movies, and Adam Carolla is unprepared tonight outside of Sacramento. Go to AdamCarolla.com and stay tuned for AP News.